Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to Lighthouse United Methodist Church today. My name is Matthew Williams, and I'm the pastor here. Welcome on this rainy day outside this morning. Thank you for braving the weather to be here today. It's our delight to have you here with us this morning. And if today is your first time worshiping with us here at the Lighthouse Church, we especially welcome you. And we would invite you to please stay after the service for a time of fellowship in our fellowship hall. I was able to taste a little bit of this morning's goodies before the church service began. And all I can say is there's a little surprise with a hint of Nutella after the service this morning. So thank you, Husteds, for providing today's food. If you would take, at the end of each row, there's a registration pad. If you would take that at this time and pass it down your row and register your attendance with us, we would appreciate that this morning. And you can also update any personal information you have or that you need to update on that pad. Also, for all of our first-time guests this morning, as you leave, we have a gift for you, and the ushers will distribute that to you this morning as you leave. If you would make note to them that you are a first-time guest with us today. There are many announcements in your bulletin. I would invite you to read that. I would like to begin this morning with a word of celebration and humility. Last week, we had a goal to raise enough money to feed 50 hungry children in Nicaragua. And by what I believe is an act of God moving your hearts, we more than doubled that goal in 24 hours. And so the last time I checked, we're feeding over 100 children for 1 month. So give yourself and give God a hand this morning for his work among us. This morning, I hope that you've come to this place with an expectation to experience the presence of the living God. And as the prelude begins and signals our worship, I would invite you to humble yourselves and search your heart and prepare yourselves to be in the presence of God.
Please rise for the responsive call to worship. O God, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. From the rising of the sun to its setting, we praise your name, O God.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Take a moment and look around and find someone you may not know and greet them with a sign of Christ's peace this morning. You may be seated. This time in our service, we gather to offer our praises and our prayers to our God. We believe that our God is here in our midst as two or three of us are gathered in this place. This morning, if you have a prayer need, it would be our honor to join you in prayer. And in the pew in front of you, there's a prayer card. If you have a prayer need, we would invite you to take that card and fill that card out and place it in the offering plate later in the service so we can collect them and begin to pray for these needs. Each day of the week, I have in my office by my computer a copy of our prayer list and our directory, and all of us in our office take it very seriously that if you provide a prayer need, we will pray for that need. Not only our office staff and myself, but our men's prayer group and many people throughout our entire congregation are praying for your needs. And I would encourage you to take your bulletin with you after the service and keep this prayer list close by your side. At this time, does anyone have a prayer need that you would like to lift before the congregation verbally? Any praise reports or praises that you would like to share? Amen. As we sing the Spirit song, I would invite any of you that would like to join me in the front to come and kneel at our altar as we go to the Lord in prayer. Good morning, God. We thank you that your presence is in this place. We thank you that your sweet spirit rests among us. We thank you for another day to live. We pray that you would fill us this morning with your complete and total love, and that you would remind us in the depths of our souls of the blessings that you have bestowed upon each of us. All the things that we often take for granted, we give you thanks. Maybe for all those times that we felt that we were at a dead-end road and you turned us around and showed us the right path. Oh God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your protection and for your love and for the abiding presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this morning for the needs of our church, for the needs that are listed on our prayer list. We pray this morning for our nation. We pray this morning for our world, that your spirit of peace would rest upon us. We pray for our community and for those in this area that need to know that God loves them. Oh God, would you fill us so with your love that we might share that? That we might share this message that would change the lives of other people. Because it has changed us. We thank you for the gift and the bread of life that feeds us, that leads us, and that nourishes us. And we thank you that when we don't know what to pray and when we cannot find the words to pray, that your Son has taught us how. In saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lamps.
Holy God, we give out of the joy of our salvation. Receive these gifts and multiply them for use in your kingdom. Amen. Thank you. Oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would consecrate these gifts for use in your kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our epistle lesson today is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power of work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would face the center of the church. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him,
6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is come into the world." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we hear your word, we pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened, that we may know our calling in this world. Amen. Go with me to the church anniversary potluck leadership team meeting at the First United Church of Pessimistic Optimism, on the corner of narrow and broad streets, where they have served on the safe side for over 150 years. It's a big deal. There's going to be multitudes in attendance. Everyone comes to the anniversary service each year with expectations. And this year, they are expecting more people than ever. Narrow Street has boomed with a wide array of government-assisted housing, and the broad street skyline is now congested with skinny apartments. There are more people in the community now in need than in the history of the community itself. A community park has been planted with soft fescue grass, a free place to hold the potluck, because the church budget is tight. The team chairperson asked the group, "How are they going to organize this potluck?" Phil, the organizer of the food, is skeptical on how they might pull this off. He doesn't sense that anyone is listening to him. He stands up at the table to interrupt the chatter and exclaims in a pessimistic voice, "How are we going to convince our congregation to prepare enough food for all of these people to eat?" "Listen, committee, you don't get it. It's silly to think we can do this. Plus, it's going to cost way too much. We've been slammed recently with the economy, and it seems like everyone is always asking for money." Drew, a somewhat soft-spoken, optimistic member of the team, responds in an effort to find a solution. He says, "I know a couple of people who are willing to give something for dinner. What they have, it may not be enough, but it's a start, and the new Publix now sells whole fried chickens for $7. The chairperson of the group said, "Great, Andrew, well, you know, let's calm Phil down and we'll start there. We've got the park secured, so let's let everyone know to prepare some food." So an appeal went out for people to bring what they had to offer for the food for the anniversary. The day came, and after the blessing was said over the food, everyone walked from the sanctuary to the park and stayed for dinner. They ate until their bellies were full, and when the team began to clean up, Phil said, "I don't know how this happened." Drew said, "I thought we only had a little bit, but that Publix chicken sure does go a long way." The leader of the group asked them to pack up the leftovers, 12 trays of food and all, and take it to the local shelter. A miracle had happened. Nothing was wasted, and there were even leftovers. This is a familiar story in John's gospel. It's the only miracle story that we find in all four of the gospels. We know all the characters from the hungry multitude of people, the nervous and doubting disciples, the good-hearted little boy, the 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes, and the Lord who pulls it all off. There isn't much here to surprise us. Over the centuries, as humanity has grown in their knowledge, we have embarked on discovering how miracles happen. So in an effort to figure out the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, to broaden our narrow understandings, we have totally missed the purpose of the story. But the broader scope question for us isn't necessarily how did this happen, but it is more, what does this say? The bread of life. Nothing is wasted. You know, miracles aren't necessarily meant for us to figure out. When Christ was born, the shepherds didn't ask themselves if they believed they saw an angel. They just went to the manger and worshiped the Christ child. The blind man who received his sight after Jesus spit in the mud and rubbed the mixture over his eyes did not sit and study the mixture of saliva and mud. He just began to see. The late Peter Gomes, he was a longtime preacher in residence at the Memorial Church at Harvard University, gives us a lesson in miracles. He says, "At its essence, a miracle is a message, an illustration or demonstration of a message that God chooses to communicate to us. A miracle is God's extraordinary message in the midst of ordinary. To understand a miracle is therefore to understand something of God. To see a miracle is to see something of God." What do you see in this story? Philip had seen Jesus already perform miracles. The disciples were rather tired already from their journey. Jesus had had them working all day and all night with the poor and those in need. But in this instance, he was taken back. "We don't have enough money to feed these people, Jesus!" exclamation point. "And if we did, which market in this area would supply all the food that we needed to buy?" Philip reminds me of the struggle we have with injecting our understanding of things into the mix with God's limitless power. "Let's do this. Let's do it this way, because if we do it this way, this will happen." Before we act, we seek to project the outcome. The outcome that we project warrants our activity. Jesus, the bread of life, turns this upside down. With Philip, The text says that Jesus asked him a question to test him. Look around at all the people and all the needs. And Jesus asked, "So, Philip, just where are we going to buy bread for these people? What do you think, buddy?" If you're an outcome-oriented person, you may sympathize with Philip. Even though I've seen many miracles in my life, just last week, with our modest goal of feeding 50 Nicaraguan children, when it was multiplied, and it was a miracle, I still have a bend toward asking lots of questions, careful planning, and projecting outcomes. That's how the 21st century works, you know, at least among educated, non-mystic, goal-oriented people who live at the corner of narrow and broad. But Jesus is the one who asked the right question. I'm sure it made Philip squirm a little bit. It tested his faith. No matter what he could have planned, he had to accept that there would be no way for these people to eat unless a miracle happened. If Jesus is asking you something in your life that is making you squirm, be sure to give it some thought. If you're a problem solver and you seek to use what you have, you may sympathize with Andrew. I've had a lot of little things, you know, things in my life that did not seem very significant to me. More often than not, I've chosen to do nothing with them because, to me, they were insignificant. Andrew thought offering 5 loaves and 2 fishes from a peasant boy was a nice gesture, but he never thought that it would go beyond just a few people. Yet in Jesus' interaction with Andrew and the little boy with food, a miracle happened and nothing was wasted. If Jesus is asking you to do something with your life and in your life that you think is insignificant, be obedient. Philip, Andrew, the little boy with the food, and everyone else gathered and sat down in the grass and experienced a miracle. They were obedient to the instructions of Jesus. He told them to have the people sit down. You ever look at someone and say, "Would you just sit down and calm down and zip it for just a minute?" Something miraculous might be happening. Then Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks and distributed it along with the fish to everyone. Jesus gave them as much as they wanted. His instructions were to sit down in the grass. Don't ask questions. Don't worry. Don't try to figure out how this works. We all have a little similarity with both Philip and Andrew. We also have their story as an example of how we often act when we are in the presence of divine miracles. Jesus tests our faith, asks us questions, and then we get ready for a meeting, and Jesus says, "Don't meet, just sit down in the grass. Just sit down and receive." Dinner was over, and he told Philip and Andrew, "Hey guys, gather up all the leftovers so nothing is wasted." Jesus didn't provide a meal for the satisfaction of those who were hungry. He did do that, but he also did something more. He provided the bread of life. It is bread that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. Jesus meets the real need. He feeds the hungry not with metaphors, but with so much bread and fish that there are leftovers. Nothing is wasted. He met the needs of his hearers in a generous and open-hearted way, so that when their bellies were full, the hunger of their hearts could be addressed. The message of the miracle is clear. It is God's will that people do not go hungry physically or spiritually. The gospel writer goes on to say later in John chapter 6, "For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is the bread of life. Nothing is wasted. In the hands of Jesus, little can become much. The few can become many, and the weak can become strong. And the text didn't tell us how it happened. It doesn't share with us the post-anniversary dinner leadership team meeting where they discussed how it went, what they learned, and how they could improve next time. No, they said this. "This is indeed the prophet who is coming to the world." This is where the story leads us. The bread of life is here. It satisfies the hungry. It quenches the thirst. It is Jesus, and Jesus wastes nothing. No matter our age, we all have leftovers from miracles in our lives. Perhaps we haven't noticed them because we have tried to figure out how they happened. These are life experiences, life lessons, life blessings, leftovers, gifts that keep on giving. If a miracle has happened in your life, trust it is from God. Don't question it. There is no need to figure it out. It is what it is. Nothing is wasted. The question is this: what are you going to do with the leftovers? Maybe Jesus has something to do with your leftovers. Maybe a part of this miracle message is that there is so much good inside of you that you have something to give and something to share, so that when people sit down in the grass of your life, they are fed. Maybe there are some leftover lessons from that difficult relationship that you have had that will feed others relationally with the bread of life that is Jesus. Maybe there are some leftover lessons from that time when you were in deep despair that will turn someone's mourning into dancing with the bread of life who is Jesus. Will you try to figure this out, or will you just sit down in the grass and allow it to happen? As we heard in today's epistle lesson, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine. Philip, Andrew, the little boy, the crowd, they were part of the miracle. You are part of the miracle. You. As we come to the Lord's table today, a miracle is happening. We come to, in a way, sit down in the grass with Jesus and receive the miracle of the unending supply of God's grace. It is something that we cannot fully explain, yet it is here before our eyes, the bread of life and the cup of salvation.
Jesus calls us, come, be filled. Come, your thirst will be quenched. Come, eat. And after you are fed, there will be plenty of leftovers. The miracle is here. Jesus is the bread of life, and nothing is wasted. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we will gather around God's table. It's the last Sunday of the month, not the first. We Methodists are very good at keeping our methodical schedules. But this table, this meal, has changed this pastor's life. And I am beginning a sermon series called The Bread of Life, and as I read these passages, I cannot get away from us coming together and gathering around God's table to receive God's grace. I really believe that it's a miracle. In my life, when God called me to ministry, it was a teenager. I was like 15. It happened during Holy Communion. I was reminded of it 19 or 20 years old during Holy Communion. I finally said yes in my late 20s after a service of Holy Communion. So I really believe that this is a miracle meal. And I believe that the meal that Jesus began that day, feeding these 5,000, is the same meal that is feeding us. So I want to encourage you today to bring all of your cares, all of your worries, all of your hopes, all of your dreams, all that you are, and offer it to Jesus. Don't try to figure it out, but be a part of the miracle. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you." In the same way, chalice of wine. He gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes again, we feast at his heavenly. All honor and power and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread that we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. This morning, I'd like to invite all to this table. In the United Methodist Church, all are welcome to receive Holy Communion despite your denominational affiliation, your religious affiliation, where you're from, what color you are, how old you are. All are welcome because this is God's meal where we believe that God is pouring out His grace. And I want to invite you to come this morning and cup your hands, and I'll tear a piece of bread and place it in your hand, symbolizing that this is God's grace that is freely given to us. It's not something that we reach and take, but it's something that God has freely given to us. And then you can dip it into the cup and receive the elements, and I would invite you to go to our altar and pray if you are so led, and spend time with God as Philip offers us this wonderful music today. But the table is set, and we invite you to come and to be fed. It's the body of Christ broken for you. It's the body of Christ broken for you. Is there anyone else that would like to be served in your seat? Thank you. Go into the world and break the bread of life. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.